This is Ted Kennedy. Children's TV is a wasteland, and President Reagan was wrong to pocket veto a bill to clean it up. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Reagan made an ideological mistake recently when he vetoed a bill to improve children's television. Advertisers would have been limited to 10.5 minutes of commercials an hour on weekends and 12 minutes on weekdays. Broadcasters would have been required to air more educational programs. We weren't breaking new ground, Al. Similar guidelines had been in place until 1984, but the Reagan Federal Communications Commission went on an ideological deregulation rampage and repealed the guidelines. Abuses multiplied. Advertising mushroomed. Toy manufacturers began to write whole broadcasts that were nothing more than program-length commercials for their products. That's wrong, Al. Let's send the bill back to the White House next year. President Reagan vetoed it in 1988, but I'll bet President Bush signs it in 1989.
You're right about kiddies' TV, Ted. It is often a wasteland. But your whole darn philosophy of government regulation after government intervention is wrong. We can't regulate children's television programming just because She-Ra isn't your bag. She doesn't look like a bag anyway. The Federal Communications Commission is engaged in an important and sensible goal of deregulating the airwaves. The American public will determine what is most appropriate here. They have the ultimate freedom of choice. They can hit the channel switch, or they can turn the boob tube off. And with the goofy stuff off, parents might even encourage other family activities, like reading a book to their kids. I'm all for better television for our children, but this legislation simply went too far. Overregulation is never the answer in society. But who appointed you judge of it all, Ted? Censorship next? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Current Soviet actions in Afghanistan could well be the very first real test of Mikhail Gorbachev's commitment to withdrawing troops from that country. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, the present communist government in Afghanistan is surely faltering. That is becoming so increasingly evident as the Soviet Union prepares for a complete withdrawal from Afghanistan early next year. Under the Geneva Accords, signed last spring, the Soviets must pull out their 115,000 troops by February 15th. But the Soviets are now wavering, providing the puppet government with high-tech weaponry, missiles, and aircraft. The Soviets are apparently violating the spirit of the withdrawal agreement, Ted, and they should know this country is keeping a very keen eye on their activities. At a time when a new American president will be negotiating strong, fair arms control agreements with the Soviet Union, the Soviet activities in Afghanistan tell us much. The whole world is watching.
Al, I'm as concerned as you are about the ominous cloud over the Soviet commitment to the February deadline for withdrawing from Afghanistan. So far, the delay is only temporary, but it's still a stall, and the message sent around the world by the Soviet hesitation is hardly reassuring. If the stalemate continues, it'll be the first serious test of the Bush administration's foreign policy. At the same time, Al, the Republican right wing is clearly overreacting. They're already bashing Vice President Bush because he didn't sound tough enough in his reaction. They're urging him to cancel U.S.-Soviet arms control talks if the Russians so much as sneeze in Afghanistan. That sort of linkage is a mistake, Al, and the administration would be wrong to go along with it. The Soviet Union will pay a heavy penalty if it fails to meet the deadline on Afghanistan, but we'll only be penalizing ourselves if we foolishly scuttle a chance for arms control. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on his poor voting record on civil rights. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson is no friend of civil rights, and his voting record proves it. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, the highly respected Leadership Conference on Civil Rights, has just compiled voting records for the past 2 years on 16 important issues on civil rights. And once again, old anti-civil rights Al Simpson brings up the rear. I scored 81% out of a possible 100, but you scored only 25%, Al. 12 times you voted against civil rights. You were wrong on using federal funds to discriminate against women and minorities. Wrong on the nomination of Robert Bork to the Supreme Court. Wrong on aid to low-income families with children. And wrong on the minimum wage. The list goes on and on, Al. Defend particular votes if you like, but the overall record shows a shocking pattern of insensitivity to civil rights and the fundamental principle of liberty and justice for all. Say those words in the Pledge of Allegiance more often, Al. It'll improve your record on civil rights.
Oh, come on now, Ted. No one has ever tagged me as anti-civil rights. You kowtowed every known liberal special interest group, including the leadership conference, then hammer me for voting against them and their rigged agenda. Their name may sound good, but this is the same organization of zealots that launched a campaign of hysteria, smear, and distortion against Robert Bork. What a loss. Where were you, Ted, when we tried to pass reforms for legal services for the poor? Services that really protect the civil rights of the less fortunate. We wanted to make sure that legal services money went to actual legal aid for the poor and not see those funds actually being paid to the activist fat cat lawyers and lobbyists. The leadership conference was opposed, and so were you. I'm a lifetime advocate of civil rights, Ted, but you'll never see me marching in lockstep with some of the socialists in the leadership conference. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The moving movie, A Wonderful Life, was quite wonderful in black and white. But what happens to it when it's artificially colored? Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, last week a major cable television station aired the classic movie Casablanca in color. It was colorized to expand the TV audience and make money, but some important legal rights for artists are at stake here, too. You introduced legislation last year to allow painters and sculptors to disown their own artworks that had been distorted or mutilated by their purchasers. I'm certain we'll be considering your bill again next year. And will you then give movie directors the opportunity to be heard on this one? If we're going to give artists the right to disclaim and sue on their altered works, then movie directors certainly are entitled to the same right. If not, the greedy producers will start churning out those black and white classics after hollering at their art department pals, "Paint it again, Sam."
Here's looking at you, Al. You're right on today. The United States is notorious for the shabby way we treat our artists, and Exhibit A is the crass commercialization of famous black and white films by colorizing them for TV. It's wrong to tamper with great works of art. Just because it's done for profit, or because couch potatoes watch anything on TV doesn't make it right, you might as well put a mustache on the Mona Lisa or paint the Statue of Liberty red, white, and blue. Other countries defend their artistic heritage by granting protection to painters and sculptors against mutilation of their works of art. Purchasers can buy or sell a work. They can display or not display it. What they can't do is modify it. Colorization is especially insulting, Al, because it's done by computers. It's a high-tech trick of painting by the numbers. It shows contempt for our best artists and best films, and Congress ought to stop it. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the high U.S. rate for children in poverty. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Senator Al Simpson. Mikhail Gorbachev winds up his exciting visit to the Big Apple today. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, it's been 28 long years since a Soviet leader addressed the United Nations in New York City. Gorbachev's speech was indeed historic and dramatic, and we'll have much to chew on in the weeks and months ahead. Of equal importance to world peace was Gorbachev's meeting with President Reagan and President-elect Bush. The Soviets recognized the critical importance of the continuity there. We have no reason to believe that George Bush and Mikhail Gorbachev will have anything but an open and productive relationship, even when they scrap. The Soviet Union is going through some awesome, radical changes under the leadership of this singular man. Gorbachev has captured the imaginations of persons over much of the world. Even those hardened but big-hearted New Yorkers have demonstrated that. But the motorcades and the welcoming crowds do not diminish the substance behind the show. I personally know that George Bush will prove to be the ever-able diplomat and extremely effective negotiator. I'm excited.
Al, Gorbachev's visit to New York City and his address yesterday to the United Nations may be the best thing that's happened so far to the Bush transition. It's a positive sign that improving relations between the United States and the Soviet Union won't miss a beat, and that there will be real opportunities for greater cooperation and less confrontation in the years ahead. President Reagan and President-elect Bush were right to mention the many vital issues on the agenda, all the way from Afghanistan to regional conflicts in other areas of the world to the fundamental question of human rights. where surprising progress is now being made on opportunities for emigration from the Soviet Union. But the number one question is still arms control. Progress there will inevitably set the tone on all the other challenges we face. If the hopeful talk we heard yesterday about reducing conventional forces in Europe holds up, Al, 1989 will be off to a fine start. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the administration's unpleasant post-election surprises. Tune in tomorrow in the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration unleashed a string of unpleasant surprises after the November election. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, do you have the feeling it's been Halloween all over again since Election Day, while the administration was unleashing all those controversial decisions held over until after the election? The president vetoed the Ethics in Government bill. The administration started foreclosure proceedings against 60,000 farmers. They ran roughshod over state officials by trying to force communities in New York and Massachusetts to swallow two nuclear power plants. They tried to slap harsh restrictions on people appealing denials of Social Security and Medicare benefits. They sent the Justice Department into the Supreme Court to overrule the abortion decision. They attacked the Iran-Contra special prosecutor, who's trying Oliver North. The administration obviously knew better than to pull all those tricks before the election, Al. They should have known better than to pull them after the election, too.
Lord Ted, I have this vision of you hunkered down up there while the winter winds whip up a froth at Hyannisport. The shades are drawn and you twitch whenever the phone rings. Your paranoia of Ronald Reagan and of Republicans has now again reached the absurd. Those are important things, but not major issues. That's why George Bush carried 40 of the 50 states. He has vowed to bring down the budget deficit. He will continue the important talks with Mikhail Gorbachev and others of the Soviet Union. George Bush has vowed his support for the Ethics in Government bill. He'll work with Congress as we hammer out sensible agriculture legislation tailored for the family farmers. The election is over, Ted. It's December. Loosen up, Scrooge. You will be visited by three spirits. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Yasser Arafat. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. A vital discussion on peace in the Middle East will take place under United Nations auspices, but it won't happen in New York. That's very unfortunate. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, George Shultz has been one of the most effective, able, and respected secretaries of state in my recent memory, but I don't agree with his decision to deny PLO chief Yasser Arafat a visa to speak to the United Nations. Arafat is a bad apple, but the UN Charter was created to deal with all of the actors on the world stage, the good, the bad, and the ugly. World peace just can't be achieved if we only communicate with the nice guys. This strong, fair, free, and unthreatened country could have granted the rascal a visa for just 12 hours, but I fear now we've given him the extraordinary opportunity to now criticize us about the very things he needs to learn so much more about. Democracy and freedom.
Al, excluding Arafat was Secretary Shultz's decision, and I don't intend to second-guess it. George Shultz is a decent man of high integrity. By rejecting the visa for Arafat, he made a strong statement against terrorism. The whole world understands that, even if the UN is caught up in the propaganda circus of moving to Geneva. Congress and the country will miss George Shultz, Al. No one in the Reagan administration worked harder for peace in the Middle East. Whether the UN debate takes place in New York or Geneva, the real issue is the same. Israel is prepared to negotiate peace with its neighbors. The fundamental question is whether the PLO is now finally prepared to renounce terrorism once and for all, recognize Israel, and be a part of the peace process. George Shultz challenged the PLO to give peace a chance, Al, and we're waiting for their answer. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on President Reagan's unfortunate veto of the ethics bill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Reagan did the wrong thing in vetoing a major ethics bill. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Reagan unwisely vetoed one of the most important bills of the year to curb ethics violations by high federal officials. The veto was a late hit. It came after the Congress adjourned, so we couldn't even override the veto. The bill was a final chance for the administration to act against the sleaze that has muddied so many officials. The veto is irresponsible, Al. It spoke volumes about the lack of commitment to high ethical standards in government. The veto was doubly wrong, because the bill covered Congress too, not just the executive branch. Members of Congress and the administration are entitled to jobs in the private sector, but they're not entitled to cash in by ripping off their old agencies. You pay lip service to ethics, Al, but here's a good test. Will you at least admit this veto was a mistake?
Yep, Ted, the veto was a mistake. I supported that legislation since our good friend Strom Thurmond introduced it in the Senate over a year ago. The House of Representatives didn't even want to first consider it, but wiser heads prevailed, but the bill was much watered down as a result. We need to put a two-before in the old revolving door. A federal employee, or a member of Congress, or an executive in the administration, or a top staffer who leaves government service should be prohibited from lobbying a former employer for at least a year. And we ought to put the good long-term clamp on those who represent foreign interests after they leave this government. That old revolving door has been spinning for years, Ted. President-elect George Bush supports legislation to slow the whirl. With George Bush's leadership, we'll see that bill become law yet in these months ahead. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the new Bush First Team. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Al Simpson. George Bush is lining up his first team and setting the tone for what I believe will be an all-star administration. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. George Bush is already showing us that he will be a steady president who knows darn good talent when he sees it, and he is showing a desire to reach out to all Americans in building his early presidency. Yes, Ted, that was George Bush meeting with the representatives of various environmental groups. He reached out swiftly and surely to meet with the new Senate Majority Leader, George Mitchell. Jesse Jackson has met with our fine president-elect. And George continues to name some extraordinarily capable persons to his inner circle team. John Sununu of New Hampshire as his chief of staff. Jim Baker at State. Nick Brady at Treasury. Dick Thornburg at Department of Justice. Laurel Cavazos at Education. Each day we shall see that George Bush wants to work closely with Congress and without confrontation.
I agree with that, Al. We're certainly seeing the kinder, gentler side of George Bush. He's reached out to all his old opponents. He's even smoked the peace pipe with Bob Dole. And he laid the groundwork for progress in U.S.-Soviet relations in his session with Gorbachev the other day. At the same time, Al, these days don't require a lot of heavy lifting. That will come soon enough, after Inauguration Day, when President-elect Bush drops the elect from his title and takes up the responsibilities of the Oval Office. If there's any cloud on the horizon, it's the budget deficit. We read George Bush's lips in the campaign, but virtually all economists say at least some additional revenues are needed if a deficit reduction plan is to be creditable. It's President Bush's first big test, Al, and how he handles it will tell a lot about the future of his administration. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the administration's latest assault on Social Security. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration fired an unfair parting shot at Social Security, but as usual, they wound up shooting themselves in the foot. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, after all we've been through these past 8 years, you'd think the administration would finally be smart enough to keep its hands off Social Security, but they never learn. Last month, they blundered again. They floated a preposterous plan to prevent elderly and disabled citizens from appealing decisions by government bureaucrats denying Social Security and Medicare benefits. Every year, the administration has been losing large numbers of appeals. But instead of doing the sensible thing and correcting the mistakes that caused the appeals, the administration did the Alice in Wonderland thing and tried to limit the appeals. They finally backed off that turkey, but only after a large outcry in Congress and the country. The right to appeal is an essential safeguard. No citizen should be unfairly denied the benefits they deserve.
Shame, shame, Ted Kennedy. doing it again, always trying to cause panic and fear and consternation among some of our most vulnerable and confounded citizens. Social Security Administration never carried out any such plan to prevent elderly and disabled citizens from appealing decisions. The idea was only a proposal. The intent was to streamline the appeals process, to reduce the backlog of appeals. The suggestion was deep-sixed when it was finally determined that beneficiaries could be adversely affected. You're practicing the old politics of fear today, Ted, and you're so skilled to use it always with Social Security. And when you do that, you cloud the honest issues, make it impossible for Congress and any administration of either party to make any sensible or responsible decisions that can improve federal programs. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on our new American Drug Czar. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Congress decided it wanted a drug czar to fight for America on our war on drugs. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, last fall, bare weeks before the general election, Congress grandly trumpeted that it passed a $2.7 billion drug bill. There is a tremendous need for such a bill, and I voted for it. That legislation calls for appointment of a drug czar to head the drug fight. We create the position, we direct the mission, and then we appropriate only a fraction of the funds that are needed for all of the myriad programs called for in the law. Not too clever. The real problem now is to set the priorities. Drug education should top the list. Enforcing and strengthening the law should come on its heels. The hottest battle is being waged in our inner city streets, so let's focus our efforts there. We need to continue common sense drug treatment programs and cut out those that are just not achieving real results.
Al, you used to be dead set against a drug czar, so it's good to see you finally supporting this reform. Republicans stonewalled the idea for years. We lost valuable leadership, time, and resources. President Reagan pocket vetoed a whole anti-crime bill a few years ago because it contained a drug czar provision. The problem is the confusion and duplication among the many federal agencies with anti-drug missions. Even on the narrow issue of drug interdiction at our border, three different agencies, Customs, the Coast Guard, and the Border Patrol, have conflicting operations that undermine the joint effort we need. Multiply that tenfold, Al, for all the other agencies involved in law enforcement, treatment, and education, and it's easy to see why. When we declared war on drugs, drugs won. Now, the 1988 drug bill offers a welcome fresh start. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the time bomb called the Electoral College. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson probably thought Election Day was in November. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, most people thought Election Day was last month, but it's really today, December 19th, and I'm not looking at a George Bush calendar. The Electoral College meets today to cast the official vote for president. It's an archaic procedure under the Constitution and federal law that happens every fourth year, on the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December. George Bush will probably win today's vote, Al, but that doesn't mean we should keep the Electoral College. Maverick electors could upset a close election by refusing to vote for the candidate who carries their state. A candidate who won a popular vote majority could be defeated in the Electoral College and lose the presidency. It's happened three times in the country's first 100 years, and we've been living on borrowed time ever since. The Electoral College is a crisis waiting to happen, Al. Let's abolish it now and make this the last phony election day in December.
What's your alternative, Ted? The Constitution of the United States provides for the Electoral College. It may be an imperfect system, but it's based on the same theory that gives proportional representation in the House of Representatives and equal representation in the Senate. It means that even the smallest state, like my own dear state of Wyoming, commands enough electoral votes to deserve some attention during a presidential election year. Without the Electoral College, Wyoming would never see another presidential candidate. No, they'd just wave and drop their brochures from the plane as it jetted from New York to California. This isn't any urgent problem, Ted. The Electoral College will proclaim George Bush the winner. He carried 40 of the 50 states with an overwhelming majority of the popular vote. Your true colors are showing here, Ted. A bias against the smaller states in this country. Shame on you, Ted. You usually stick up for the little guy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The allotment system propping up peanut farmers is a pretty nutty operation. It's a sure signal of the problems spread across the board in agriculture. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, those who support a free enterprise system of agricultural production are astounded by the peanut program. Peanut farms are regulated by an allotment system that includes 59,000 permits. Of that total, just 30% of the allotment owners actually grow peanuts. The remaining 70% rent out the allotment rights to others, often at heavy prices. And then federal subsidies are shelled out to those who own the rights. We ought to abolish that system, Ted. It's another example of agriculture programs that work against the average farmers. American farmers always ask the right to compete on a level field in a free enterprise system. Let's get them there. Who's nuts here?
Al, the archaic federal peanut program has outlived its merit, but it's also one of many federal agricultural programs that turn out to have nine lives. Congress is rightfully concerned about the impact on states and communities that have historically been major producers of peanuts. We're also concerned about the well-being of farm families who rely on the crop for their livelihood. The program survives mostly, however, because of the dubious practice of log rolling in Congress. Peanuts are not the only crop that profits unfairly from outdated agricultural policy. Many other commodities get special treatment, but they're difficult to reform because farm state senators and representatives stand together for the subsidies. The farm program is scheduled for renewal in 1990, Al. This time, with strong budget and consumer pressure, we may finally succeed in achieving reform. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on unsafe nuclear power plants. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Reagan administration has gone too far in forcing states to start nuclear power plants. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, there's no end to what you right-wingers will do to get nuclear power. Now you're trying to force New York and Massachusetts to start two controversial nuclear power plants, ordered years ago before anyone realized the people in crowded areas can't be protected if a meltdown occurs. If a major nuclear accident like Chernobyl ever hits a heavily populated U.S. community, people will panic. They'll be sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic gridlock with no way out and radiation raining down. That's why state governors are right to reject unsafe plans. In retaliation, the administration has practically declared martial law in New York and Massachusetts. They've ordered a federal agency to override the governors and start making federal contingency plans for a meltdown. Those plans are dangerous, and no Washington bureaucrat can wave a magic wand and make them safe.
Ted, commercial nuclear power is a reality. These plants are not dangerous. It is a proven, safe, and efficient source of energy. Billions of dollars have been spent on the construction and design of the Seabrook plant. It was approved by your state at every step till the politicos cried and whimpered and peddled their fear. The public health and safety has been assured. But you across the state line from the state that wants it, you use the emergency planning process to keep those plants from coming on stream. It is a crude and obstructive tactic never intended. In the United States, 16% of our total energy needs are derived from commercial nuclear power. But through a campaign of misinformation, fear, and distortion, you left-wing lunks will plunge the Northeast United States into the dark. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on America's Proud Space Program. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Is America's space program back on its celestial track across the heavens? Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, the chilling Challenger disaster of nearly 3 years ago put our nation's fine space program on hold. In the short span of months following that tragic accident, we suffered serious problems launching our unmanned rockets. Now we have seen two marvelously successful shuttle missions. I think we can honestly say that things are surely looking up for our space program. But the reality of America's budget bind situation must not be lost in the rightful pride we have in these shuttle missions. We have to assure that the program pays its way in the years ahead. Our space program can and does provide vital national security work, but let's put the responsibility on the private sector when it comes to launching those great birds when they're used for other purposes.
Al, you're talking to the wrong person about your backdoor scheme to scuttle a space program, which is exactly what will happen if we privatize our role in space. That's not what President Kennedy had in mind when he challenged us to reach the moon. Space is still America's last frontier, and the achievements of the past quarter century have brought enormous dividends that none of us dreamed possible. Those dividends are public, Al, not private, and they could never have been achieved by a privatized program. We need to set the space budget with due regard for other priorities, but it'll be foolish to balance the budget on the back of the space program when our European allies, the Soviet Union, and even China are accelerating their own roles in space. Our scientists have made a brilliant recovery from the Challenger disaster. America is back in space, Al, and you want to give the space program the back of your hand? This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy with a Christmas thought for Senator Al Simpson. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, as we enter the holidays, I send Christmas greetings from the Kennedys to the Simpsons. We've had differences the past 12 months, but this is the season to count blessings, especially the two new arrivals in our families. You're as proud of the first Simpson grandchild, Beth, as I am of President Kennedy's first grandchild, Rose. The age-old message is still current, Al, peace on earth. Do me a favor this weekend. Look up in the night sky and tell me whether you want nuclear weapons in space. Quarter a century ago, before the arms race accelerated and Star Wars was thought up, Dean Rusk, President Kennedy's Secretary of State, expressed a better idea. Let's ban weapons from space, he said, so that our grandchildren can look up into the great universe and reflect with the Psalms that the heavens declare the glory of God, not the folly of man. A nice thought, Al, and not just for Christmas time.
Christmas greetings to you too, Ted, and to all the Kennedys. But only a rascal like you would turn a Christmas greeting into a jab on the Strategic Defense Initiative. Lighten up there. It's Christmas. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And at no time are those goals more felt than at Christmas. As the Simpson family gathers together, and as I hold my young firstborn granddaughter Beth in my arms, I more fully understand the importance of my obligations. And as you welcome dear young Rose into the loving fold of your family, I know the goal of peace also weighs mightily in your mind. We have an honest difference of opinion here, Ted. I see the Strategic Defense Initiative as a means of assuring peace for all future generations. You don't. But as I said, it's Christmas. So we'll just agree to disagree for now. And Merry Christmas, Uncle Ebenezer. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.